be a sheet of paper near you that's got some scriptures on it. And what I want to do is, I want to talk to you about what I would call the backdoor message about Christmas. So the front door message of Christmas is that Jesus was born. And through this process, we can become forgiven. We can be saved. That's a good word right there, right? I mean, I love Christmas just for that right there. But the backdoor message is that we can also be changed. We can be forgiven, and that's important, but we can also be changed. Maybe at this time of year, you've met some people that you haven't seen in a long time. And when you see them, you sort of size each other up, you know. Have we put more weight on? Have we taken weight off? Have we more wrinkles? I just tell people, all these wrinkles I earned. So don't make fun, you know? I earned them. This is hard-earned wrinkles, you know. How much have we changed from the last time we saw each other? And if we're believers and lovers of Jesus, you know, then there's always how much of a change since the last time you saw me, you know. How many of you want to be always growing, maturing, and changing in Christ? I told you at the beginning of the service I was baby Jesus in, you know, the first year I was born. Someone said, you've never been any more Christ-like than in that moment, right? You know, and it's been downhill ever since, you know. Born in July, baby Jesus in December, you know. So that's as Christ-like as I got. Then I backslid. And I became a two-year-old, a three-year-old, you know. I've been at this thing a long time, and I'm going to just tell you that not only is growth possible and expected, but it is our birthright, growth and maturity. It really is. And actually, everybody around you is really kind of encouraging that, you know. But I can also tell you there's a lot of things that doesn't work, you know. Resolutions and, you know, just trying harder doesn't work. So I want to kind of help us to get our mindset correct before we get to this celebration of New Year's so that we can get our minds aligned with the Lord and focused in a direction that he can take and use. And we're more likely to change if we actually invite the Lord to do the change in us. Right? We get to participate, you know, I mean, but it's going to work out better if he helps us. So here's what I wanted to do. In fact, I just found some artwork that I don't know. I like it. I'm not trying to really dumb anything down today, but it's watercolor, and I just think it's beautiful, right? You know. So the front door message of Christmas is that we can be forgiven, and I love that. Man, I needed it. We need it. As a matter of fact, our hearts are so poisoned by our fallenness that we don't even know how much forgiveness we need. It might be apparent to everyone around you, but we usually are clueless to how much forgiveness. How many needed a boatload of forgiveness? How many need it right now? How many need to make some things right before we finish this service, you know? So, front door message is Jesus was born. But he was born to die, which is where the forgiveness piece comes from. I mean, so we can all celebrate babies, but I guarantee you that none of us have a baby expecting that they will die, and we all do, you know, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. There is, you know, it's inescapable. It's how we know that sin is a universal problem, is because death is a universal problem, you know. So Jesus was born to die. And Jesus died so that we could be born again. I mean, it's not rocket science. But it sounds strange to us in our Western culture and Western hearing and stuff. We, you know, the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin is so important, you know, that we'd usually miss it because we just think about, you know, how young she was and what a shock it must have been to Joseph, and, you know. But the fact that Mary was conceived of a child from outside of this world becomes huge, because everyone who came from inside this world carries the poison of their sinfulness with them. You know. As a matter of fact, in the book of Leviticus, in the first covenant, we go all the way back to the first covenant God made with Israel. In the book of Leviticus, think about it, when a woman had delivered a child, the next thing she has to do is purify herself. It's not just because there's blood and fluids. That has its own part. But because she has borne a child that is created in the image of God but fallen from that. And so therefore, she's brought another little baby sinner into the world, you know. It doesn't take too long to see that they really, truly are sinners, you know. And some of them, they're not just saved by grace. I mean, they live by grace, you know. One mom said, I brought you in, I can take you out, you know. So, the front door message is that we could be forgiven, and we don't think about that as much as we should. But then there is this event that is coming up in the spring, you know, Resurrection Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So you got to actually put the two holidays together to get the whole picture. So that Jesus was raised so that we could be transformed. I'm going to say it the way I've heard it and believe it to be true, is that God is actually not as obsessed with sin as we think he is. He's actually provided a solution for it. God is he's obsessed with life, eternal life, life in relationship with him, life in humility and submitted and love with him, not rebellion, right? Sometimes we get obsessed with sin. But actually what we're wanting is not just people to stop sinning, but what we want is people to change. We want people to be good humans. And certainly if they've accepted Christ, we want them to be good Christians, right? We all want that. So I'm going to borrow language from, I was going to say my friend Jay Adams. Dr. Jay Adams was one of the most prominent central figures in early modern Christian counseling. And he asked this question, because he wants to get to a point, and I'm going to borrow his language there. He says, you have to listen to it close, because it's sort of a riddle. Is when is a thing not a thing, or at least when is a thing not the thing that it was? When is a thing not a thing? It's when it's another thing. So the joke is, when is a door not a door, when it's ajar, which means open, not glass. Okay. That's kind of the point. On that piece of paper, I went to read from John 3 and verse number 16. In fact, you might be able to read this one with me, you know, and might even have it memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, verse 17 is amazing to me because this isn't how we all always present this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. From what? From sin. From what else? I'm sorry?
The evil one.
From the evil one. From the power of the devil. Jeff?
Death.
From death. From judgment. From all this that gets wrapped into man's rebellion. God didn't send Jesus to condemn this world, but to save it. Which almost sounds like foreign theology anymore, you know? It sounds a lot of times, if you listen long enough in Christianity, it starts sounding a little bit like that God sent Jesus to judge the world. But you can just look at his life, and that's not what he did. Now, he could call things out, people out, you know, certainly. But he came to save the world. When we're saved out of the world, then we become a part of the ecclesia, the ones who are called out of the world. We're in the church. We're in the body of Christ, you know. And he doesn't start condemning us once we're in the body of Christ. You know, once you accept Christ as your Savior, he doesn't start to, okay, now I'm just going to up the ante and start condemning you now. He came to save us. He came, but and God loves righteousness and justice. And you're driving down the road, kids in the back seat start picking on each other, fighting with each other. After a while, someone's crying. And what do? You say, if I have to stop this car, you know, there will be hell to pay. Some of us have said that, apparently. We're all fellow sufferers. I'm just telling you, you know. It doesn't stop with grandchildren either. But, you know, okay. So, sooner or later, justice demands that you pull the car over, you get out, and you deal with the problem. And, you know, what does the parent want? The two of us to get along in the back seat? Want to be driving without interruption? Want to be honored, respected, you know? For us to learn to honor each other and respect. I think there's a little bit of... It's not hard to figure out why God has to send his Son, you know? Eventually, you know, he had to pull the car over, right? But is he coming to condemn? No, he's actually coming to save, right? That's not hard to figure. It's harder to walk out. In other words, the grace that we need to give to each other, you know. So if God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten, that gets into the virgin birth part, you know. He could have said his eternal son. He could have said his firstborn son. But his only begotten son means that there was a very technical way in which God brought his son into this world. It's through a virgin, you know. It's amazing. We should get a lot more out of Christmas than we do, you know. But anyway, so then down at the bottom of the page there, I put another couple of verses because this is Paul. Now Paul's got the, Jesus came, he starts teaching the way and calling people to follow him, calling them to back to God, and he provided the means where we could come back. Now the Apostle Paul has taken that message, and the message is now matured in that Paul can, from his vantage point, look back to the cross and past it and see what God's been doing from the beginning. All right? So now Paul's message is to Gentiles, but it's really grown up and matured by now. So the Apostle Paul preached that a man needed to be born again and in order to be saved. A man needed the blood of Jesus Christ in order to break the power of sin, in order to provide. Paul believed all of that and preached all of that. And miracles, signs, and wonders confirmed that these things were true. But then he would sit down and say, now listen, folks, I want to, like, the implication of all of that, I need to explain it to you. And here's Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So when is a thing not a thing? When it's another thing. Okay, so when Jesus found this man, he was a liar. And so what does everybody want? For this man to stop lying, right? Yes, but there's more than that, because God's righteousness wants to take us beyond the stopping to starting. So he takes the man from lying, and then he transforms that man into someone who loves the truth. Because he realizes that his words impact people around him, right? So the back door of the Christian or Christmas message is that we can be changed. Front door is we can be saved. Back door is we can be changed. As it has been said, he not only died for me, he died as me. So therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, there's a place for it, and a reason for it, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Here's another example. And let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So when is a thing not a thing? When it's another thing. When is a liar no longer a liar? It's not when he stops lying. That's a beginning. It's when he loves and tells the truth. When is a thief not a thief? It's not when he stops stealing. That's the beginning. It's when he starts working with his own sweat to earn a living and even enough to help someone. In other words, there was energy that was put into stealing. He had to think about it. Okay, when's the best time to steal from Rich and Judy's house? Probably when the dog's not there. I think that's just, she's part of our security system, you know. But, you know, you come at night, you know, he put energy into it. He put training and planning into it. Now take that same energy and put it into working so that you So when is a thief no longer a thief? It's not when he stops stealing. It's when he starts working and giving and taking care of other people. Are we tracking together? This is not going to take long. Trust me. All right. So here's what I'm thinking is, when is a sinner no longer a sinner? It's when he's a saint. Now, lest we get all Orthodox or Catholic, meaning holy ones, healthy ones, mature ones. So I can say I'm a sinner and I'm saved by grace, and that would be true. But here's the thing, is that transformation requires, okay, so we're forgiven. Now the relationship is restored between us and the Father. Now the Father releases his Spirit. Jesus is not, God's not obsessed with sin, he's obsessed with life. So it's like what happened in the garden is disconnection from God and disconnection from life, and death and all kinds of stuff goes wrong right away. But now reconnected to God, his Spirit, the Spirit of life. God so loved the world, he sent his Son. To save that world, God so loved the world that he gave his Son. That whoever believes in him would not perish. Okay, so perish means disconnected from God. All the bad stuff. It's death. It's torment. It's being able to be demonized. As the blood of Jesus is still flowing from Calvary, so that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, even today, someone's calling on the Lord and their sins are being forgiven. Those of us here today saying, yeah, I really messed up and I want, you know, we're calling on. The blood is still flowing to forgive a man. The stripes on Jesus' back is still flowing to heal a man, to deliver a man. But the life of God's Spirit is still flowing to enter a man and to transform us. I'm all about living by faith. And we will die in faith. We may not receive everything that God has promised. I hope and pray that you receive everything God's promised you. But even if we die in faith, there's a resurrection coming. And there's presence with God. And there's a new world. And a new heaven. A new earth. A new creation. A whole new creation. Wherein dwells righteousness. And these people who were on the earth, born again, are transformed and become the people of God. And we're ever with the Lord and we love him and serve him. And the worship and the enjoyment never stops. Amen? Amen. That's where it's all headed. It's all headed there. But for right now, I'm living in faith, believing that not only these things are true, but that he is actually working within us. I'm here today to tell you that the backdoor message of Christmas is that you and I get to be transformed. We get to be changed. We get to be more than we are. Perfect? No. Sinless? No. Never even on my radar. When someone comes to me and say, look, Pastor, I got to be honest with you. I'm not perfect. I usually say, I never dreamed that for a minute, you know. Because I live with me. I know me. But I'm here to tell you that we can be changed. It's our birthright. The thief can begin working. The liar can begin proclaiming the truth. The sinner can become a saint. The adulterer, the idolater can become new in Christ. Sign me up. This is the greatest thing going. This is not self-help. This is the rescue plan of God. Would you please stand up with me? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you haven't figured this out already, it seems to me, I could be wrong, this could be just me, but I'm going to lend it to you. If it fits, you can wear it. But if it doesn't, just put it on the shelf. It seems like that the closer and more determined I am to press into Jesus, the more my failures I see. The more of my sin I see. I'm so determined to do better. And I press into it, and I find more that needs God. That is actually not a trick. It's part of the plan. This is God saying, you want to know me more? You want to press into me? You want to be transformed? Okay. All right. All right. Here's more of me. And in the presence of the Lord, more of me gets exposed when he exposes more of him. So don't give up because you're pressing in and you're finding more sin. So we don't do shame because, you know, remember, he doesn't start condemning once you're now saved, right? You know, so I didn't come to condemn the world, but now that you're saved, boy, I got condemnation. No, that's not how it works. It's actually where sin abounds, grace much more. It's like the deeper the depths of our failure and brokenness and sinfulness, it just seems like the grace of God can work with that better than my pride, my religiousness, and my arrogance. Can I read a little? I asked you to stand up, and you're standing a long time. But I read this psalm the other week, and it just... When I read this psalm, I want you to think of Mary and Joseph at the front door of Christmas, okay? Particularly Mary, but I think Joseph too. Lord, my heart, this is Psalm 131. My heart is not haughty, proud. My eyes are not lofty, arrogant. Neither do I concern myself with great matters. I think we'd call them conspiracy theories. And beyond. Nor with the things that are too profound for me. Let me just read that again. This is not someone with poor self-esteem. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. In other words, a weaned child is not dependent on his mother's breast. But this child is in her embrace. And there's security. It's like, I'm independent from you. You are my mother. But I'm okay being me. And I'm okay that you are you. And with that, I still my soul before the Lord, and I put my hope and my trust in God. My salvation is in him. My care is in him. My healing is in him. My transformation is in him. The source of my life is in him. And I still my soul in the midst of everything shouting at me. I refuse to hear that, and I just look in his face. Yes, I am weaned, but oh, how I need him. Is there something inside of you today that says, I'm just so ready for change? And God, he scares me, but I'm drawn to him. Yeah, I need him, but I'm not a basket case. I'm choosing to love and to follow him. Everybody understand what I'm saying right now? Just more of him. He must increase. I must decrease. And so in this presence right now, just tell him what you need. Tell him what you need from him right now. This is my roadblock. This is my obstacle. I want life giving Spirit of God flowing into me, transforming me. Now that I am forgiven, now that I am cleansed, now that I belong to him. Well, if you haven't done that yet, you should do it. Just call on the Lord. Confess your sin. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for reconnection. He'll bring it. But once we've done that, I sense the Lord so near right now. The Spirit of grace and mercy is hovering over this place right now. There is a wide open heaven. There's a door open in heaven, wide open right now. Just tell him what you need from him right now. Just call on the Lord. Invite him to the broken places. Invite him to the places that need transformation. Yeah? Right? This is the best time. I'm just telling you right now, the Holy Spirit has orchestrated the worship and the day and this event and the word. He's orchestrated it for you. It's tailor-made for you to receive from God right now. Just lift your hands, lift your voice, and call on the Lord and begin to ask Him for His help, for His grace, for His strength. Let Him quiet your soul. Let Him begin to transform and renew your mind. I just have this picture in my mind right now of the man who was delivered from a legion of demons. No one could chain him. No one could clothe him. No one could prevent him from hurting himself. Now he's sitting. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. And he's under control. And all he wants to do is to follow Jesus. That is your destiny. That is my destiny. To live there with Jesus, even in the between now and then. So, Father, I pray that as the back door, the front door has been opened. The front door to the Christmas message has been opened. We can be forgiven. We thank you for that. We can be saved. Amen. We can be delivered. We can be healed. But I thank you for opening up the back door where we can be changed and transformed and renewed in Jesus' name.